I bet you've heard the old rule of thumb about interpreting the Bible. When you see a therefore, ask what it's there for, right? And usually what it's there for is to alert you that you're about to be told to do something in response to what the good news was. Here's the good news, therefore do this. Frequent pattern in the Scripture. And Peter begins his letter with telling the good news, and then in chapter 2 he gets to his first therefore and starts telling us what to do. And then we've seen some of these as we've gone through the chapters of 1 Peter. Now we're in chapter 4, and he has another therefore here for us. And actually this one amps up the intensity of the therefore, and we'll see how as we read in 1 Peter 4. But before we do, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. We continue to be amazed that you could take an ancient word spoken through someone who spoke a different language and a different culture and bring it forward into our day by the power of your Spirit and bring that truth that you inspired then to inspire us now. We're ready to see how you would do so today, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and disciplined for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Years ago, I had a young student minister who served with me, and he was fascinated with a TV preacher named Jack Van Impe. Some of you may remember Jack Van Impe. His singular focus was interpreting biblical prophecies about the end times. And he was bold in how he did this. He would sit at a news desk, like in the picture here, and he would rehearse the news of the last week, and then he would go straight to the Bible and pull out various verses and show how this event fulfilled this prophecy. And in those days, a lot of the news was about people like Mikhail Gorbachev and Henry Kissinger, and so they were frequently mentioned as he interpreted these prophetic words. He's always entertaining. And my young friend was absolutely enthralled. He would come to my office and tell me breathless about the latest prophetic revelation with Mikhail Gorbachev and so on. And he was so excited. I heard earlier this year that Jack Van Impe went to meet Jesus. It turns out that for Jack, Jesus came for him sooner than he came for us all. And so Jack is with Jesus now. But I am sure that if Jack were still at it, he'd be touching upon the coronavirus and showing how this is a fulfillment of old prophecies. And I think so because some of Jack's successors are doing that very thing. Now, we may raise an eyebrow to this or that interpreter's technique, but honestly, we find this fascinating. And we see the stunning ways that the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, and as we read those, and then as we read prophecies in the New Testament, we realize there's still a lot of prophecies pending. And so we'd like to see how those are fulfilled. But here's the deal. No interpreter sees it playing out exactly the same way. Listen to one, listen to the other. They've got different spins on this. And really, we cannot see clearly until we're seeing clearly in retrospect, like happened with Jesus' first coming. Those prophecies of old were seen clearly when they were seen in retrospect as Jesus fulfilled them. But here is what's clear already. There are some things that we should be doing in the meantime. Whether we understand how it's all going to play out or not, all these prophetic words come down to a therefore. And Jesus himself, when he gave prophetic words, had a therefore. For example, there are chapters in the gospel where he's talking about the end times when he'll come back. And some of his symbolism is just as mystifying as in the book of Revelation. But he gets to a therefore. And here's his therefore. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And what Peter does with this therefore is he kind of fills out what it means to be ready. Jesus says, therefore, be ready. Peter says, well, here's how that looks. If you're going to be ready, you need to be doing these things. So we can speculate on the fulfillment of prophecy and coronavirus and all of that stuff. But even while we do, we can get on with acting on the therefores. And here's another facet to this with Peter. He actually amps up the therefore by adding these words, this description. He says, the end of all things is at hand. So this is not sweet by and by, says Peter. This is right now, close at hand. The end of all things. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? It could be any day now. And in its own strange way, coronavirus has had the same impact on us. Especially when someone our age or younger or in really good health dies from coronavirus. And we get this wake-up call to our own mortality. Because honestly, most of us, I mean, I know in my mind's eye, I don't stop to think about this much, but I think I just assume I'm going to live to a ripe old age. So I've got all this time to do what I want to do. Anybody besides me? I bet that's true around the circle. And then here comes the coronavirus, and it's like someone takes a bucket of cold water and throws it in our face, because we realize that, in fact, we're vulnerable, that we are mortal, and we can't predict the length of our lives. So whether Jesus comes for us all when we think he might, he will come for us each when he knows it's right. When he knows the time is right, he comes to fetch us to himself. And that coronavirus has given us a reality check that that could be any time now. And so Peter says to us, therefore, and our ears are attuned. And his first therefore is this: pray. Therefore, pray. And not just pray randomly, be serious and disciplined as you pray. Now, those pictures I gathered there of our next-door neighbor's house, Mark and Christy, are rebuilding their house. And they moved in several years ago, and the house is already there. And so it didn't take any particular discipline on their part. They just moved into the structure of the house, and the structure gave them a place and gave a form to their daily lives. And so they could just kind of hang out in that space. But as you can see, now that structure is gone. And so they can't be casual about this. They're being very serious, very disciplined about what kind of space they're building. They've got a plan. They're working their plan because they want to have a good place to live. Now, this sounds a little crazy, but I want to suggest to you that it works the same way with prayer. A lot of you have inhabited the same structures of prayer that you have now for lots of years. And it's become casual and familiar. But here's the deal with the coronavirus. It's wiped out pretty much all the structures of our lives, including prayer. And so if we will, we can be focused on building a new structure of prayer in this season when a lot of us have a lot more time at our disposal than we had before. We're at home, or we're not doing this or that that we usually do. We have all this time. Now, coronavirus doesn't just create the possibility of new forms of prayer. God wants to use your prayer to advance his purposes in this season. And so Peter says to us that we should be serious and disciplined in this as the Lord makes use of our prayers. So here's my question to you. I can't tell you how it'll be for each of you, but I have a challenge for you that in this season, when so much else of your life has been deconstructed, could you restructure your prayer seriously and with discipline to enter a new season, a new place where you can dwell in prayer day in and day out and serve the purposes of God? Then, Peter has another therefore direction for us. Keep loving one another earnestly. And again, the coronavirus has given us some special challenges with this, because with some of our loved ones, we got way too much together time. And with some of our loved ones, we're not seeing them at all. So our usual patterns of sharing love and sort of apportioning energies and time and together time has been, well, it's been knocked off kilter. So we can't afford to just keep doing what we've always done. We've got to think through, how do I show love? Because our familiar patterns have been disrupted. Well, Peter says to do so earnestly. Now, I had a suspicion that this word earnestly was a rich word in Greek, and sure enough, my suspicion was rewarded confirmed when I went to other translations and I saw that every single translation translates this differently. When there's a word that's rich in meaning, translators have to decide which facet to go with when they translate. And so, for example, in one translation, the one I read to you, it says love earnestly. Another translation has love constantly. Another has love deeply. The Message, the paraphrase, has love as if your life depended on it. It's a rich word. So how should you love? Well, all of those, love earnestly, love constantly, love deeply, love as if your life depended on it. There's not much else you can do that's more important in this coronavirus season than to love earnestly as if your life depended on it. And that love, says Peter, comes with a promise. It covers a multitude of sins. Well, that's good to know. Because when you get together with folks and you're stuck in the house with folks, all of a sudden everybody's sins become pretty obvious. There's just no space to be apart. And then when you're alone, a lot of you live alone, and you're not getting enough together time, well, then there are other patterns of sin that come to the fore in one's aloneness. So how can you love? Well, when you're together with each other, you've got to cut each other some slack, right? And understand that all this together time has all of us a little bit off kilter. We've got to give each other some space and some mercy. And when you're not together with the people that you would most like to show love, you've got to be creative. Figure out a plan. Call them on the phone. Write them an actual letter that you put a stamp on and send to them. Sarah, my Sarah, has started being a pen pal with the three of our granddaughters that are right age to do this. She thought this is a good season to start a pen pal relationship with these girls. So they've been sending these postal letters back and forth to each other. So we get these envelopes with big block letters on the front, hardly room for the whole address, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. But she's found a creative way to connect with grandkids in a season where we're not together like we would like to be. So you can do this. You can find a way to connect with your neighbor. You can find a way to connect with your coworkers and so on, but you can't rely on the usual patterns. You're going to have to be creative here to love earnestly, love as if your life depended on it. Well, your life with Jesus has an expression that it wants to give in love through this season. And how might your life with Jesus point with Him as you love others? Then Peter has another therefore. Therefore, show hospitality to one another. How many of y'all would like to show a little hospitality about now? Man, we'd all love to have someone over. And we can't. But think about what we do when we have someone over. Here's what our agenda is. We want to show our guests honor, especially if they're first-time guests. I mean, we don't just use the usual chip dishes. We get out the good stuff. And we get out the silverware instead of the flatware and the fine napkins. And why are we doing this? Because we want to honor our guests. Now, we can't have guests into our home, but even separated, you can show honor. You can find ways to show honor in this coronavirus season. And it'd be well to think this through, because we're going to be at this for a while. It looks like we're not going to be all together again in our usual places for a good many months, I'm guessing. Best as I can tell from here. And when we do get back together as a church, it's not like we're going to be having church dinners. We're not going to be all gathered around the coffee pot. we're going to be doing the distancing thing until a vaccine comes. I'm not sure, but it's a while. And so how are you going to do this? How will you show honor when you can't do so through your ordinary hospitality and mingling socially? Well, again, it takes some creativity. A lot of us are on Zoom calls at work. Use your Zoom calls to honor someone, honor a coworker, to bless them for their good work in some way, to brag on them in the presence of others. Find a way to reach out to those that you don't see in person. Honor your next-door neighbor. Leave them a note on the door, even if they don't know you. Leave them a note on the door and say, from your next-door neighbor in this hard season, just thinking about you. Thank you for being my neighbor. So you can be creative about this and show honor to people and thereby honor the Lord and bless them at the same time. It matters. Honor matters. Affirmation matters. And all the more in this season when we're cut off from easy connections. Then there's one more therefore. Peter says, therefore be a good steward of the ministry gifts God has given to you. Then he gives a couple examples of gifts that he's talking about here. Some of you have gifts of speaking, and some of you have gifts of serving. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means that God wants to move through you in both word and deed. He wants to empower your words, and he wants to empower your deeds to connect with people's lives. Now, if you're students of the New Testament, you've seen these lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament in various places. Some are speaking gifts, some are doing gifts. And he wants to empower us in that way. Actually, all of you, just as human beings, have certain gifts, talents you bring to people. Some are doing gifts, some are speaking gifts. Good. Be good stewards of those. But Peter's talking about something more than that. He's talking about Holy Spirit-empowered gifts of speaking and doing. For example, he says, if you have a speaking gift, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. You know, that sounds a little bit above our pay grade, doesn't it? Yeah, speaking the oracles of God. What he's talking about is a prophetic gift. Now, don't let that word intimidate you. What a prophetic gift is meaning to learning to attune your ear to God's voice so you can hear him and speak into the ministry moment what you're hearing from him. That doesn't sound quite like standing on a mountaintop and proclaiming from on high. But it is a capacity that you as a spirit-filled Christian person can grow in to hear from God and speak into the moment. And in fact, we're encouraged to do that. I'm actually teaching a class right now on how to grow in this prophetic gifting, and we'll do some more of that teaching in months to come. Now, that's the speaking kind of gift. There's also the doing kind of gifts. These two are listed in the New Testament: administration and practical helps and showing mercy and generous giving and leadership and healing. You may have seen someone who's really got a knack for showing kindness to people, a merciful person. That's a wonderful thing. But I'm talking about something more than that. When the gift of mercy is at play, the way people show kindness actually draws them closer to God. This is a Holy Spirit-empowered gift. Just like those power tools up there, they accomplish certain things when they are plugged into the power. You can do more with them than you can without the power. This is what God wants to endow us with through the spiritual gifts that Peter's addressing here. So whether we're speaking gifts or doing gifts, the Lord wants to advance his kingdom and to use us to do it, even in this season. Because it could be that the return of Jesus is at hand. Therefore, wow, we don't live like this very much, do we? We don't live like time is short. Could be for any one of us in this coronavirus season. Could be that Jesus will return in our lifetime. That'd be okay with me. Anybody in favor of Jesus coming this week? Yes. Any time now would be fine. But Peter has something to say about that too, and it's actually in his second letter, in the third chapter. Here's what he has to say about the return of Jesus. He says, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wanting any to perish. Now, we might be right there with Jack Van Impe with a passion to figure all of this out. But what Peter's telling us is that the Lord is taking his own sweet time because he doesn't want anyone to perish. Even so, we don't know when that old sweet time comes to conclusion. So Peter's message to us is, therefore. And in this coronavirus season, we've all of a sudden had some fresh examples lifted up for us about what we can be about for the advancement of his kingdom and for the Lord's work to make sure that no one perishes. Now, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us so. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have called us to be a part of what you're doing as you advance your kingdom. We're honored to be a part. We thank you that Jesus is coming again for all. And we thank you that when it comes time for each, he comes for us too. We look to you, Jesus. We want to be ready. We want to be busy in the meantime, busy with the work of your kingdom. Empower us through your Spirit to do so well. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.